Good evening and welcome to worship. Without much commentary or any at all, let's just open in prayer, shall we? A gracious and loving God, we plead this evening for your mercy. For the neighborhoods and families that have been impacted by flooding and hurricanes, not just in this country, but in the islands and around the world, where tyrants are out of control, livelihoods are at stake, and fear seems to want to grip the world. We come in this moment to be inspired by your presence, led by your word, and moved by your compassion. We pray that you would open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to receive the whisper of your voice, and that the meditation of our hearts and the words of my lips would be pleasing to you, O Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Sweet hour of prayer. Let's sing.
invite you to be at peace in silence as you listen for the whisper of the Holy One. This comes to us tonight from Romans chapter 8, or chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Through me with your tender breeze.
search out the depths of my heart. Like a fire burn through me, here on my knees, consume every dark hidden part. Holy Spirit, all consuming power, fill me with the joy of my heart's desire. No friend to me like you long to be, down here below or above. Rushing wind, help me see my Father and be a vessel of his tender love.
Except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. During the silence, you'll be invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention between you and God or you and another. You may also come to the kneeler for anointing as you are able. And also there's an offering basket at the foot of the table. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. As we focus on love tonight, I invite you to just focus on the cross. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I like how Frederick Buechner writes about the stages of love. He writes that the first stage is to believe that there's only one kind of love. The middle stage is to believe that there are many kinds of love, and that the Greeks had a different word for each of them. And then finally, the last stage is to believe that there is only one kind of love. The three words that the Greeks used, eros, philia, agape, three words that are used in our text to describe love. The first, eros, it's the kind of love when you see that young couple or teenagers in a movie theater where they're cuddling and kissing. Or maybe the kind of love where you see a seasoned couple on a walk holding hands. It's a beautiful kind of love. A touchy-feely love, if you will. And then there's philia, a sympathetic love of friends, a brotherly love, a love that cares for each other, a friendship. And then there's agape, giving itself away freely. Agape, no strings attached. The kind of love that God offers us through His Son. These are all varied manifestations of a single reality. To lose yourself in another's arms or another's company. Eros. To suffer with and for those who suffer. Philia, including yourselves in the ones who inflict suffering upon you. To lose yourself in such ways to find yourself. It's what it's all about. It truly is what love is. Of all powers, love is the most powerful, yet the most powerless. It's the most powerful because love alone can conquer the most impregnable, the most indestructible stronghold, which is the human heart. Only love can conquer that. Yet it is also the most powerless because it can do nothing except by consent. You can't force love on someone. You can only consent to receive it. To say that love is God, well, that's kind of romantic idealism. To say that God is love is either the last straw or the ultimate truth. In the Christian sense, love is not primarily an emotion, but an act of the will. When Jesus tells us to love our neighbors, he is not telling us to love them in a sense of responding to them with a cozy emotional feeling. You can as well produce a cozy emotional feeling on demand as you can a yawn or a sneeze. But on the contrary, he is telling us to love our neighbors in the sense of being willing to work for their well-being, even if it means sacrificing our own well-being to that end, even if it means sometimes just leaving them alone. Thus, in Jesus' terms, we can love our neighbors without necessarily liking them at all. In fact, liking them may stand in the way of loving them truly by making us overprotective. When Jesus talked to the Pharisees, he didn't say, now, everything's going to be okay. He said, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? He said that to them because he loved them. This does not mean that liking may not be a part of loving, only that it doesn't have to be. Sometimes liking follows on the heels of loving. For it's hard to work for somebody's well-being very long without coming in the end to rather like them too. I think about that in the people that I've come across in my lifetime. I remember being a plumber's apprentice for an uncle of mine. And he partnered me with this crusty old fella who was probably 25 or 30, maybe even 40 years older than me. He liked his bottles of beer, even on the job. And there wasn't much of anything good that ever came out of his mouth. He would yell and scream at me. He would throw pieces of pipe at me. One time I got fed up and I threw my hammer back at him and actually hit him. And he tried to chase me through the 2x4s of the framed house. And his beer belly wouldn't allow him to sneak through the walls. Even as nasty as he could possibly be, there was something inside of me that felt sorry for him. He was a hard person to apply this scripture to love. I get it now. He probably never received love. Of course, I wasn't a Christian back then, but if I were to see him now, it would be a different story. I would see that all that anger that comes from him is just pain. Pain that needs to be soothed by the love of Christ. It truly is. Even as a Christian, to love our neighbor as ourself. Can't help but think of what love has the potential to be. We're instructed on what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoings, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Jesus calls this the greatest commandment, to love God and to love neighbor as ourself. It's a litmus test for us as we represent Christ to the world. Are we patient? Are we kind? Are we full of envy? Are we boastful or arrogant? Are we rude? Are we insisting on our own way? Are we unapproachable, irritable, resentful, entitled? Do we feel like it is owed to us? Are we celebrating the defeat of others? Or are we rejoicing in truth? Are we able to bear all things and believe in the hope that Jesus offers? Can we endure? Recently, we were at a retreat, and we were talking about pride and how sinful it is. We tried to use an illustration of, how automobile makers really capitalize on pride, how they continue to build new models that do better, more things, and eventually they're going to build cars that drive on their own. And how I shared with the group growing up in a family that worked at a major automaker. So there was a pattern in our household where every 18 months or 2 years we would have a new car. And that became embedded in me until I became an adult, and 5 or 6 or 8 cars later, I realized how expensive it became and how hard it was to break that cycle. And in that moment of trying to kind of explain pride, somebody piped up and said, "Well, I'm still driving my dad's car that was given to me 22 years ago." That person came up to me the next day and apologized because she realized that in that moment, she was being prideful. It's hard to believe that driving an old car can make us, we can boast about that, and that can take away from the beauty of what God has blessed us with. Love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. Love is generous. Love is tolerant. Love even reaches out to teach, to admonish, to correct, so eyes can be open, hearts can be softened, and love can win. Love. Jesus comes and shares the most amazing expression of love to us by taking bread and breaking it and saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me." And I imagine in the midst of silence, he picks up the cup and he blesses it and gives thanks and says, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." The ultimate act of love. Take and drink and remember. And so we come tonight praying that God's Holy Spirit would be poured out upon these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine, that they would become for us the body and blood of Christ. That as we partake, we become less us and more of Christ. For the sake of living out that commandment, knowing that the law has been fulfilled through the sacrifice of love in Jesus. Help us, O Lord. To soften our hearts and be tender to the movement of your Spirit in our hearts. To receive that amazing grace, that love, so that as we are fulfilled, that our, as we are filled by your presence in us, that we can go out and love others the way you hope for and long for, the way we were have been loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to extend the invitation of God's grace to all who have come tonight. We practice an open table, which means this gift of grace is open to all. All you have to do is come and be willing to receive this gift. I will break off a piece of bread, and if you would, just make a basket in your hands, with your hands, and receive the bread and hear the words, "The body of Christ broken for you." And then simply take that bread in, and then dip it into the cup and hear the words, "The blood of Christ shed for you." And free station here and a basket for an offering, should you want to respond. The table's been set. The invitation has been extended. As you are moved by the Spirit, come and receive a piece of love.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. He will do something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a Jesus, my Savior, Jesus, my friend. From the beginning until the end, life of abundance filled with your love, joy.
I think of the image of Jesus being the image of love no matter where he went. Think about it for a moment. Everywhere he went, people flocked to him. Love draws people in. And the opposite, I think of the running up with the bulls. Like love, if it's not love, people are doing everything to get out of the way of the path of the bull. You follow me? One is repelling, off-putting, the other is alluring and drawing in. I wonder where we are tonight. Are we a bowl in a china shop, or are we like Jesus, drawing people in, inviting them to the very presence of God and sharing that love? May you leave this place maybe changed a little bit, maybe drawn a little closer to Christ, maybe able to draw others closer to Christ. Be patient, be kind, be generous, not boastful, not arrogant, not rude. Don't become a bull in a china shop. Be Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.